Los Angeles Police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 24. Lieutenant Fitzgerald had just been murdered by an unknown assailant. That's all. Rosenquist.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you read your newspapers carefully, last week you saw an article with this caption: Award made on gasoline. Total of 1,430,000 gallons to be provided to Los Angeles during fiscal period. Los Angeles is but one of many great cities and counties in Southern California and Arizona where Rio Grande cracked gasoline is the official motor fuel. In these places, the police cars, fire engines, and other emergency equipment devoted to the protection of your life and property are powered with Rio Grande cracks. If you are a motorist, this article should convey something of real importance to you, because you too can get this police performance for your car. The crack used by these cities and counties is the same identical gasoline you can buy at any Rio Grande service station at no extra cost. At this time, we are pleased to present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. Every so often, too often, for the peace of our citizens and the dignity and respect due its peacetime army, an enemy of society kills a policeman and gets away with it, but does not escape his punishment forever. In the Canadian Northwest, the mounted police have built up a reputation respected throughout the world for always getting their man. This is true of practically every police department in the United States. For although we do not have one concentrated force which is given credit for its unfailing efficiency, there is a code among policemen made necessary by the attacks upon them by uninformed citizens and the underworld, which makes them act as one across the face of the earth to track down and bring to justice the killer of a policeman. I have chosen tonight to bring you the story of Little Phil Algren, who murdered a policeman in cold blood and thought he could get away with it. But your police department relentlessly sought him out, reached out across what was then the border of an unfriendly country, and through a series of fascinating yet discouraging escapades, finally brought him back. Perhaps few cases in the annals of the police department reveal as clearly as does this one the problems which daily face the police department. Professor Lindsley will now go on with the story.
On June 18, 1921, Detective Fitzgerald and O'Brien make a raid on the house of a man named Farley and round up seven characters wanted on charges ranging from possession of narcotics to grand larceny. During the raid, they also confiscate numerous bottles of dope. After booking the prisoners, the detectives, accompanied by Eddie Dalton, special agent for a downtown bank, return to the Farley home to make a search for further evidence.
All right, Tom. I guess Mrs. Farley hasn't skipped out.
You know, Tom, I think you should have taken her in, too.
Oh, she's all right. She isn't mixed up in any of this.
Well, you can't be sure.
Oh, it's a nice trick indeed. Look at locking up a woman with a small child.
Well, of course, I don't want to be inhuman, Fitz, but it seems...
Oh, good evening, Mrs. Farley. We've come back.
Where's my husband? Is he all right? Is he safe?
He's safe enough, Mrs. Farley. He's not going to get away from the place he is now.
We want to look around a little bit more, ma'am. May we come in?
Well, I don't know. That is...
There's somebody in there.
No, I don't know.
Mrs. Farley, we're coming in.
You can't.
Oh, look there. No, you don't. Stop where you are or I'll let you have it. What does it matter?
Don't be in such a hurry to get away. We want to talk to you.
And who are you?
You know who we are. Police officers.
What's your name?
Gonzalez.
You're Lyons. Medrano. This is another bird we've been looking for some time, Eddie.
You guys aren't doing bad today.
No, sometimes we have lucky days, and this is one of them. You're under arrest, Medrano.
Yeah, but what for? I have done nothing.
You've done enough for our purposes.
But you cannot do this.
Sit down, Medrano. Take it easy.
Yeah, but I...
Sit down. Keep an eye on him, Eddie.
Okay.
Come on, Tom. Let's look in this cabinet here. Maybe we can find some more junk.
Okay.
Well, there's nothing on these shelves.
Look up there on that top shelf.
I can't reach it.
Wait a minute. Stand on this drawer.
There, that's more like it.
Find anything?
Yeah. Say, here's a couple of bottles of... I'd better get to that door before Mrs. Farley gets
there. Where you are. I'll answer it.
Speedy, you know!
Shut up, you!
Hey, what's he hollering about?
I don't know.
Keep him quiet till I find out who this is.
What's the matter, Eddie? Smith entered the door. There was a shot and he ran outside.
Well, come on.
There's somebody over there on the steps next door.
All right, be careful.
Oh, it's Fitz.
What's the matter, Fitz?
He got me. I'm all done.
Call an ambulance quick, Eddie. He's hurt bad.
Gerald is rushed to the hospital and submitted to an emergency operation for the removal of the bandit's bullet from his liver. But he never rallied. And in a few hours, he is dead. Outraged by the death of their comrade in arms, Tom O'Brien and Chief of Police Lewis Oak questioned the suspects taken in the raid earlier in the day. They deny any knowledge of the identity of Fitzgerald Slayer. The officers are despairing as the last of the suspects shows no sign of breaking.
Come on now, Taylor. You know who did this job.
I don't know a thing. Well, we'll question you until you drop. We'll never give you any rest.
It won't do you no good. How do I know who croaked this dick?
Might have been anybody.
Yes, it might, but it wasn't. You know who did it. At least you've got a mighty good suspicion.
Even if I have, I wouldn't tell you guys.
Now listen, Taylor. It isn't going to do you any harm to help us. One of our best friends has just been killed. And we intend to find out who did it.
Hey, not a matter.
Yeah, but we've got to get a lead. Now, you're not putting yourself on the spot if you give us a hunch. Tell us something, anything.
Well, I think maybe the guy you want is out on parole.
Out on parole? What else?
Listen, that's all you're going to get out of me.
Thanks, Taylor. That's all we need. Tom, get Langham, the state patrol officer, down here. Put Langham, the state patrol officer, down here.
But it's 2 a.m., Officer Chief.
I don't care what time it is. Get him out of bed. And get him down here as soon as possible.
Routed out of bed, the state parole officer rushes to the chief's office, bringing with him a mug book containing pictures of all paroled prisoners. Chief Oak calls Medrano into his office, and placing the mug book on his lap, turns it slowly page by page as a circle of hawk-eyed detectives watch the criminal's face for the slightest change of expression.
Now look carefully, Medrano. Is this the man that shot Fitzgerald?
No.
Is this him? Is this him?
No.
How about this one?
That crumb and that open me. I don't know who did it.
Is this the man who shot Fitzgerald?
No.
Is this the man who shot Fitzgerald?
No.
Is this the guy?
No. I tell you, I don't know who did it.
Okay, Medrano. Take him back to the cell, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. Come on, Medrano. Come on, Medrano.
Did you see him? Did you see him jump when I showed him that picture?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Chief. He gave himself away.
Okay. Here's that man. Let's see. Phil Alwyn. Alias Little Phil, alias Arizona Phil.
Phil. Phil. Say, he yelled something like that just before Fitz opened the door, like he wanted to warn the guy. He said, feeling, feeling.
Yeah, this is the guy, all right. And say, get this. He has an insignia, Arizona Phil, tattooed on his left arm. Boys, I'm going to track down this man if it takes me the rest of my life.
Chief Oak proceeds to make good his oath. His work comprises one of the most fascinating stories in the records of police manhunt. He travels over 9,000 miles. A dragnet is thrown around Little Phil's hangout. His picture is broadsided all over the city. and to every police department in the United States. But little Phil disappeared, leaving behind him but one sign, characteristic of the braggadocio of the diminutive Mexican killer. The Mexican killer.
You want to see me, Chief?
Yeah. Anything new on Little Hill?
No. I've got all the men I can working on him, but he seems to have disappeared into thin air.
I just got a note from him.
You did?
Yeah. Listen to this. I'm telling you the truth. That I shot Detective Fitzgerald. Shot Detective Fitzgerald. But don't hunt me anymore because my life is worth it. If you keep on hunting me, I'll kill all the officers and I'll be gone. I'm hiding somewhere in town, but you'd never find me. If you do find my hiding place, your men would be killed at once by my pals. And it's just for my pals. And it's signed, Little Phil.
Oh, that's just a nut letter.
No, it isn't, Tom. I checked the handwriting. Little Phil, all right.
He's got a lot of nerve after yesterday. Come and get him.
And that's just what we're going to do. That's just what we're going to do.
But Chief Oak's emphatic prophecy does not come true. And although police vigilance never relaxes, months drag on, and no trace of Little Phil Alwyn is discovered. And then one day, outside the main ring of a circus playing in a small town in Idaho, two clowns are arguing just before they go on with their act.
Now listen, Dallas. If you tie me up again on the run in, you'll get what's coming to
me. Ah, what's eating you, Pedro? Just a laugh, doesn't it?
I'm not saying any more than I warned you.
I'm down. Here we go.
Okay, now that you ask for it. You'll never treat anyone else.
Thank God, they sure are a vow. Look at that face right there.
Tell us what he's got in mind.
Come on, keep out of this. I'm going to settle this dirt.
Come on, let go of that knife and get up on your feet.
Cut it out, you big block.
What?
You're tearing my sleeve off.
I'll tear your arm off if you don't stop this fight. What's this? A tattoo mask?
Arizona Phil.
Hey, let go of me. You'll never get me.
None of you fools. Will you stop that man? Stop that fella. He's going to murder.
Once more, Little Phil vanishes from sight. In the fall of 1922, more than a year after the murder of Detective Fitzgerald, three shadowy figures wade across the Rio Grande River, 2 miles south of El Paso. Silently, they slink behind the kills of the El Paso brickyard and crouch near the paymaster's office. Then, as the sound of an automobile is heard, they stiffen with suppressed excitement.
Here he comes now. You covered his eyeballs, eh?
See.
You hammer the nails into his tires, Manuel.
Yes.
I will get the money out of the back of the car.
You all set?
We're looking for it.
Okay. Get out there on the road.
Speak him up.
What is it?
Shut up.
You want to keep your health.
There goes the first one, amigo.
Bueno.
These damn doors stuck. There we are. Huh. You are thoughtful, my friend. I see you have brought all the money. Huh?
You can't do this.
Shut up.
We're doing it, ain't we?
It's good enough. He can't get far with the two flat tires. Come on, amigos. Adios, senor.
But this time, the wily Phil was so careless as to leave a fingerprint on the door of the automobile. El Paso police identify the robber as Little Phil Alwyn and inform Chief Oak of his suspected whereabouts in Juarez. The chief leaves immediately for El Paso after instructing the Texan police to place Mexican detectives on the killer's trail. Upon Chief Oak's arrival in El Paso, it is decided to have Alwyn arrested by the Mexican police and turned over to the American officers on the International Bridge. Chief Oakes accompanies the Mexican detective to a cantina frequented by Alwyn to witness the arrest.
Alwyn, you are under arrest.
What for?
Vagrancy.
Vagrancy?
That's a good one. You think I'm nuts? How's the gringo with you?
That is of no matter. Will you come peaceably or will I have to handcuff you?
Oh, I'll come peaceably. Let's go. Now, what's the idea of the car? We can walk to the jail.
I prefer that we ride.
Okay, pal. Your gringo friend riding with you?
Seguro.
I thought so. Well, let's go. You don't think you'll get me across the bridge, do you?
I do not know what you are talking about.
Yeah, of course you don't. Well, it looks like this is the end of the ride.
What do you mean?
What is the matter?
Where are you taking this man?
He is under arrest.
But the jail is that way, not the way you are going.
This man is my prisoner, Captain. He's wanted in Los Angeles for murder. I intend to take him back there.
I regret very much, Senor, but you cannot do that. This man is a Mexican citizen. You cannot take him out of the country without the proper paper from your government in Washington.
But the American government doesn't recognize the present government in Mexico. I couldn't get extradition papers.
That, senor, is not my problem. It is yours. Come on, Felipe. You are not under the U.S.
What did I tell you guys? You can't touch me!
Undiscouraged by this unexpected turn of events, Chief Oakes spends weeks tracing Bill Alwyn's birthplace. At last, he establishes it as Morante, Arizona, and obtains copies of the killer's birth certificate. Now he must attempt to get Alwyn deported from Mexico as an undesirable alien. But obstacle after obstacle is encountered at every turn. Finally, Chief Oakes calls in Sam Drebin, World War hero and famous soldier of fortune, the one man in El Paso who knows the border best.
Well, Louis, the way I see it, your problem is to get Bill across the river.
Yeah, and what a problem.
Well, there's some way to pull it.
I can't get any cooperation from the officials on the other side.
You never can. They don't know who their boss is from one day to the next, the way the government changes. But there must be a way. Now, let me think. I got it.
What is it?
Did you know that Bill was over on this side some time ago and tried to get Doc Isaacs to remove a tattoo mark from his arm?
No.
And it's a fact. The Doc said he'd get cold feet when it came to a showdown and refused to do the job. Now, there's your angle.
How do you mean?
Well, Bill seems mighty anxious to get that tattoo off his arm.
Well, I should think he was. That's the best identification mark he has.
Okay. Let's set up a tattoo removing business in Juarez.
Hey, what the devil are you talking about?
It's simple. Now, I've got a pal in town that looks like a doctor. His name's Kelly, and he's really one of the toughest fighting Irishmen you'd want to meet up with. Now, we'll send Kelly over to the other side with some tools to set up a business as a tattoo remover. And then we'll get word roundabout to Phil that Kelly's just the man to take off that mark. And when he's got a little dope shot into him, supposedly to ease the pain, it'll be a cinch to get him in a car and across the bridge.
Well, it's worth a try. I'm going to take that little monkey back to Los Angeles with me. And I don't care much how I do it.
The trap is laid, and little Phil falls for the bait. He instructs Dr. Kelly to come to his room to remove the tattoo. When Kelly enters the building, Drebin, Chief Oak, and the El Paso Chief Detective, Claude Smith, are awaiting outside for Kelly's signal to come and get the killer. But Kelly, when he enters Bill's room, encounters unforeseen difficulties in the person of Bill's dusty-eyed sweetheart, Carmen Peter.
Hello, Doc. All set for the operation?
Yep, I've got all the stuff right here.
Meet Carmen Peter, Doc. My little ball of fire.
Charm, senorita.
Thank you, senor doctor. I am happy to meet you.
Now, Phil, if the young lady will pardon us, we can get started.
What do you mean?
You must wait outside until I'm through.
Oh, no, no, it is impossible. I must be with my little silly when he has his tattoo taken off.
I can't work with anyone present.
Oh, but senor, we little Carmen Peter here, we could work better, no?
Ah, let us say, Doc. What's the odds?
Well, I'm afraid I can't do a good job with anybody here.
Oh, it's okay.
All right, if you say so. It's going to hurt you, Phil.
I don't mind.
You don't know. It'll be necessary to remove several layers of the epidermis.
Well, I don't care what you remove, Doc, so long as you take that damn mark off of me.
I think I'd better give you a local anesthetic so it won't hurt so much.
Okay, just as you say, Doc.
I have it right here. All you feel is the jab of the needle.
Oh.
Oh, you don't feel anything as the Novocaine goes in, do you?
No. Feels okay now, Doc.
What's he doing, though? What's the matter with you?
I? Nothing is the matter with me.
Well, look at you. You're pale and your eyes are feverish.
I feel nothing.
Perhaps watching the injection has made you faint.
Why, no, why...
Be careful. You're unsteady on your feet.
But, Doctor...
Sit down here. Yes, I know all the symptoms. You're really ill.
Why, I was all right a minute ago.
But you're not now.
Well, no, I guess I do feel a little dizzy.
Yeah. Take this glass of medicine. That'll make you feel better.
Gracias. Oh! Oh,
you're... It will do you good.
Oh! That horrible stuff! I'm going to...
You better go outside, Senorita. Hurry, the back way. Well, that's that. She'll be plenty sick, but it won't hurt her any. How about it, Jill? Can you hear me?
Oh.
Morphine's doing stuff all right. Now to get him out of here. Okay, boys. Giving him all the dope right there, too. He's groggy, but he isn't out yet.
All right, we'll take him this way. Come on, Louise. You grab his feet.
Okay. Watch your head on that doorway, will you?
Yeah, now easy does it. Get him into the car, quick.
Look out, he's coming too.
Tell him. Yeah, muscle him, he's coming out of it.
Ready, the amigo! The gringos are kidnapping me! They will kill me!
Get him into the car, jump
in
him anyway.
Get him into
the driver's seat, Harley.
Get going, run!
Get him into the police!
Driven, Smith and Harvey, the driver, are intercepted by the border guards. And the three Americans, menaced by a mob eager to lynch them, are housed in the Juarez jail, while little Bill, with a bullet strike on his temple, is taken to the hospital. Chief Oak, left behind by the others in the excitement of the getaway, makes his escape through back streets toward the border. An obliging American drives him across the bridge. And under cover of darkness, the guards miss the suspicious appearance of his blood and mud-stained clothing. From his hospital cot, little Phil again boasts, this time to a newspaper reporter.
I'm too smart for these heat cops. I beat them twice. I can do it again. But say, Bobby, this hounding gets on that guy's nerve. Is there any way for a smart crook like me to leave? I wasn't born a crook. The police made me one. But I got more respect for those Los Angeles flat feet. And for these heaps, you El Paso people put badges on. Listen, I know every one of them, and I'm through kidding with them. The next time they try to get me, I am going to be ready for them. I'm going to have half a dozen dead bulls if they come after me again. Of course I pumped off this general up in law. Worth a couple of bulls, more or less. I'll pump off every bull that gets in my way from now on.
As the little Phil Algren case takes on the importance of an international incident, no less a dignitary than the governor of Chihuahua travels north in a private train to take over the investigation of the case. Chief Oakes is awaiting him at the hotel in El Paso when a Mexican druggist asks to see him.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I am Tomas. I am Boticario.
Hmm?
A drug.
Yeah.
See, I have here a prescription for a patient at the Libertad Hospital in Juarez. His name is Alguin. Felipe Alguin. You know him, no?
Yeah, I know him.
Oh, he is no good, this Alguin. Look, I have here a great power in this prescription. Senor, If you say the word, I shall make the prescription like it should be.
What do you mean?
I mean I will put poison into this prescription. This Malombre Alguin will die. No one shall know.
No thanks, Thomas. I've had offers like that before, but I'd rather take him back alive.
But, senor, is the easy way to settle the whole thing. One little pinch of the right powder and poof. He's out of the way forever.
Very kind of you, Tomet. What a help. But I'm afraid I can't accept your offer.
Very well, senor, but I think you make a big mistake. This Alguin should be killed quick and good.
The governor of Chihuahua to see you, senor.
Show him in, please.
Si, senor.
Now, you'll pardon me, Tomet, but I have a very important interview.
Good, senor. For if you ever want my assistance, sorry, I shall be glad to.
All right, Tomet. If I need you, I'll call you.
Adios, senor. Adios.
Adios, Tomet. Come in, Governor. Come in.
Yeah, buenos dias, senor.
Good day. May I introduce myself, Governor? I'm Lou Hilkes of the Los Angeles Police Department.
It is a pleasure to make your acquaintance.
Well, thank you. You were very kind to come see me.
Not at all, senor. I have heard much of the fine police work you and your department perform.
Well, it's good of you to say so, Governor, but let's get down to business.
As you say, senor?
Governor, I want you to deport Philip Alguin. I want him for murder.
Si, I understand that, senor. But as he is a Mexican citizen, and your country, unhappily, does not recognize mine, I do not see
you. I've heard that explanation before, Governor. But it isn't so. Alguin is an American citizen.
It has never been proved, senor.
Here's the proof. Here's his birth certificate. Born in Arizona. Look yourself.
It does seem to be so.
It is so, Governor. And now, since he's a known and confessed murderer, an American citizen, it follows that he's an undesirable alien in your country.
There is something in what you say.
And being an undesirable alien, he should be deported. You place him across the International Bridge, and my men will be there to arrest him.
That seems to be perfectly regular.
Then you will do it?
Si, senor.
When?
I will deliver him into your hands tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
But at 8:30 the following morning, the governor of Chihuahua left Juarez for Chihuahua City with Philip Alguin and placed him in the penitentiary there, hoping to win the reward for himself. Great pressure was brought to bear through interested Los Angeles newspapers on President Obregón of Mexico. And finally, on February 7th, 1923, almost 2 years after he had murdered Fitzgerald, Alguin was landed from an oil tanker at Freeport, Texas. Arrested by Chief Louis Oakes and rapidly returned to Los Angeles to face the bar of justice. He pled guilty to his crime and in consideration for this plea was sentenced to San Quentin for life. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are buying a new car, you don't just take the word of the advertisement, do you? Of course not. In fact, you insist on taking rides in the various cars. You are not satisfied with claims alone. You want absolute proof. Why not decide on your brand of gasoline in this same manner? Let proof and not mere claims decide for you. All advertising for Rio Grande cracks with tetraethyl is based on proved facts, not high-sounding and confusing claims. Rio Grande Crack has just recently started its second consecutive year as the official fuel of Los Angeles. It has come through nobly in the grueling test of thousands upon thousands of miles in police cars, ambulances, fire engines, and other emergency equipment. Before you purchase your next tank full of gasoline, consider this statement of fact. More police cars, fire engines, ambulances, motorcycles, and other emergency equipment in Southern California and Arizona are powered with Rio Grande Crack than all other brands combined. And for finer lubrication, try famous Sinclair Opaline motor oil. Sinclair Opaline has several advantages. It is extra refined, giving longer life. It is sold in extra major tamper-proof cans. And Sinclair Opaline costs you no more than ordinary bulk oils.